Okay, good evening, everyone. Welcome back. We had a little bit of a break last week, but now we're back to our weekly tefillah seminar, The Power of Prayer, and we are moving on in Psukei Dezimra. So tonight, we're going to make a little bit of a jump. That is because last time we discussed Ashrei. We spoke about Ashrei, which is probably the key component. You know, we had the bookends of Baruch She'amar and Yishtabach, the two brachos of Psukei Dezimra, and now we have Ashrei in the middle, which we pointed out last time, is really the pinnacle of what Psukei Dezimra is all about, and primarily because of the pasuk of Poseach es Yadecha u'masbi'a l'chol charetzon, you open your hand and you provide sustenance to all your creatures. And I have to tell you, as I always do, I'm very selfish about the past, you know, in terms of what I talk about. So Baruch Hashem, I really have felt that my Ashrei, my Poseach es Yadecha, has been better since we started this. So I thank everyone for at least humoring me. Letting me talk and learn about these ideas so that we can, at least I can, I hope everyone else as well. So tonight what I want to talk about is following Ashrei, we have the five Hallelukos. So it's actually the last five Psalms in what book? Yeah, Psalms. That's a trick question. It was the last five Tehillim. And we know them as the Hallelukos. Again, if you open up the page
75
in the Koran Siddur. So it starts Halukah Halina Hashem. That's number one. Number that's Kuf Mem Vav 146, 147. Halukah Kitov Zama Elokeinu. That's 147. On 77, we have Halukah Halu Es Hashem in Hashemayim. That's 148. Halukah Shir Lashem Shir Chadash. That's 149. And then for the grand 150. Haluka, halu, kelbika, cho, halu, biku, zo, etc. That is 150, and that is the five Psalms. So that, the truth is, officially, that really ends Psukei Dezimra. Then later, the rest of it, of Vayivarech David and the Shiras Hayam, which is, again, the Az Yashir, was added on as something that we say every day, but it's not. It wasn't necessarily formally part of Psukei Dezimra, but that we'll talk more about when we get to those parts. So what is with these five Hallelukas? So the truth is that how early they are mentioned is a little bit subject to dispute. And again, it's always the question we ask first, because again, however early they're mentioned will determine their status in terms of importance of Psukei Dezimra. And that determines whether or not you skip it if you're running short on time. There is a statement that is made in the Gemara Mesecha Shabbos. Let's get my page over here where I'm looking. Second. Yeah, over here. Okay. So there is a pasuk. We mentioned this in the past. We actually mentioned it probably in the beginning of our learning about Psukei Dezimra. And that is, there's a statement in the Gemara, the Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis, and it says that that the Rabbi Yossi, the great Tana, the great Amor Rabbi Yossi said, Yehei chelki mi gomrei halel b'chol yom, that I wish my portion was like those who complete the halel every day. Now, we did point out that there is a contradictory statement to that that says that anyone who says halel every day is a kofar b'ikar, is a heretic, denies the existence of God. How could that be? Someone says halel every day? So there's a famous line. It's only famous if you saw the movie. And I don't know if everyone saw the movie, because it's a Pixar movie from when I was a kid. So anyway, the movie is called The Incredibles. Anyone ever see The Incredibles? Okay, everyone saw The Incredibles. Wonderful. So what? Anyone remember what the bad guy? I don't remember his name. I don't remember that little guy. Alan, you remember his name? The bad guy?
I just saw it.
I don't remember his name. But anyway, he wants to be a superhero. Along with his buddy, you know, his hero, Mr. Incredible, but he doesn't have any superpowers. Mr. Incredible kind of like shoos him away. So his dream, when he becomes a supervillain, is to wipe out all of the people with superpowers. Why? Because his tagline is, "If nobody's special, everyone is special." And the reverse is, if everyone's special, then nobody's special, right? If everybody has superpowers, then I believe actually they say about. That's a little bit backwards. I don't think it's related, but I remember they used to say Camp Simcha, which is Camp Simcha Regular, which is for kids who have cancer. Camp run by High Lifeline. It basically takes these kids away for 2 weeks to a camp, summer camp, and they all of their dreams are basically everything they want, whatever they want to eat, whatever they want to do. I was a counselor there one summer. It's crazy. The activities, they have helicopter rides, they have famous athletes come, they have a soda machine that you don't have to put in any money, you just push the button. They have a game room. Excuse me. Thank you. And then there's also Camp Simcha Special, which is for kids who don't have cancer, but have other illnesses. And so they say the tagline is Camp Simcha Regular is to make all the kids feel special. And Camp Simcha Special is to make all the kids feel regular. So the idea that in their lives, they have to. But in any event, so this idea that if every day, if one says Hallel, but when do we say Hallel? We say Hallel, the Gemara says 19 times a year. In Galus, 23 times a year. Exile, 23 times a year. 22, 22? Mm-hmm. One for, what extra for? Sukkot, three more times. 22. 22 times a year. Full Hallel, that's full Hallel. Doesn't include Rosh Chodesh, which is half Hallel. Doesn't include the days of Chol HaMoed Pesach, which is half Hallel. So why is someone who says Hallel every single day do they deny the chesed, the gura, the praise of Hashem? Because again, if you say it's reserved for days it's like the old saying, whenever you get to Mother's Day, so every day is Mother's Day. Every day, okay, but if every day is Mother's Day, then there'd be no opportunity special to point out why mothers are so important, right? So if you say Hallel every day, yeah, it's beautiful. You're praising Hashem every day, but you're minimizing when you should be praising Hashem, meaning everything gets lowered in your eyes. You don't view that as a monumental point anymore. So how do we balance these two? On the one hand, Rabbi Yossi said, "Yehi chelki im gomer halal b'chol yom." I want my portion to be with those who complete halal every day. But on the other hand, they say halal every day, you're a heretic. So my answer is that is referring to psukim. The Rabbi Yossi, when he says, "I want to be among those who recite halal every day," that's referring to psukim d'zimra. Now, when it says psukim d'zimra, that's what the Gemara says. That's what the Gemara concludes. Now, the Rambam, Maimonides, points out that when it says Psukei Dezimra, it means specifically it means Ashrei with these five chapters. So it doesn't mean all of the other parts. And that's why we pointed out time and time again, if a person's in a pinch, the top things you should do are Baruch Sha'amar, Ashrei, the five Hallelukas, and then we'll have to see. If you don't have time for all five Hallelukas, what do you do? And then Yishtabach, because Ashrei and Hallelukas, that is the main chunk of Psukei Dezimra. That's what Rabbi Yossi meant when he said Hallel B'chol Yom. Now, interestingly enough, Rashi, on that Gemara, tells us that when it says Hallel B'chol Yom, in the good way, it doesn't mean all five Hallelukas, it actually means only two of them. It means Ashrei and two of them. So which two? Of Hallelu Hashem min Hashamayim, which is 148, which is number 3, and Hallelu Kel B'Kacha, which is 150. And that's why the truth is that the way we paskin is that if one's in a pinch, so if you could say just Ashrei and the Hallelukas, you should. If you can't say all the Hallelukas, you should say 135. If you can't say 135, you say 3-5. And I think if you can't say 3-5, you just say 5, number 5. So it's interesting, because that's going to determine, what the pecking order is in terms of those. But that's how we understand this idea. Now, what this means is the fact that we call this Hallel, and what did it mean that Rabbi Yossi said that, Halavai, that he should be among those who say Hallel every day? So the simple understanding is, and probably the right understanding is that he was lamenting in a sense, that sometimes minyanim, I'm saying this one, but sometimes minyanim are too fast, and you don't get to say, I said, I'm not saying this one, and I was like, you don't get to say Hallel every day. Halavai, that I could be among those who finish the Hallel, not all of Hallel, just the Pesukei Dezimra. I just want to finish saying Pesukei Dezimra. So Halavai, I should be in a minion that I could say Psukei Dezimra every single day. We mentioned
make the train.
What?
And still make the train.
And still make the train. Okay. So Rav Schwab points out that this Rav Yossi, the aforementioned Richard Rav Yossi, that he hoped to merit the reward of those who finish Hallel every day means that he wished that he could say all of these Mizmorim every day and not have to omit some to keep up with the Chazan, who apparently daven too quickly for Rabbi Yossi to have proper Kavanah. So that's our first point out, that this is the idea. So the question becomes, though, now that we know that background about, how Rabbi Yossi specifically wanted to have time to say these things, which means, by the way, which means, by the way, and this is usually the way it goes in life, is that the things that we take for granted the most are usually the most important, right? The fact that Rabbi Yossi said, ha, halavai, I could be in a minyan where I'd have time to say all the halukas meant that it was common practice, unfortunately, to rush through these things and not say them properly. And I'll say, eschatoy ani mazkir ayom, since that I mentioned this that all too often, you know, halukah, and we rush through them. And the reality is, it's not an easy, I was listening to a talk from Rav Ephraim Goldberg from already a couple of years ago. And the reality is, at any stage of life, it's not easy. It's not easy Hebrew, these Tehillim, right? It just even the, you know, the references, I mean, it happens to be beautiful poetry, but just going through it, you know, it's not like storyline. It's not prose. It's more poetry. And so the reality is, there are themes, and the goal of tonight isn't necessarily to read through all of the halukas, we do every part of them, but to get a little bit of the theme, a little bit of the understanding of what these five are and why they're so important and fundamental to the Pesukei Dezimra. If one wanted to go through, you know, the word by word and the line by line, so again, Rav Schwab does have a... Yeah, no, I know for sure he was. Yeah. So definitely along the same line, but he definitely has a line by line of each of the halukas. It's a little overwhelming, but he has each one of them really the line by line. And what we're going to focus on more tonight is Rav Pincus. Rav Pincus, we've quoted many times in the Sefer Nefesh Shimshon, that really goes through the themes. And we're going to read a little bit inside. Again, I'll read and translate, obviously, about the themes of these halalukas, the five, and to realize that they're not just, oh, happens to be we read them in this order because these are the last five in order of Psalms, but in reality, David HaMelech, when he wrote Tehillim, placed these one next to the other, not just as a coincidence, oh, I have my last five that I wanted to save for the end. Yeah, no, these were, the way that Rav Pincus points out is that it's a ladder. It's a ladder, and each one we say, and we climb up to the next, and climb up to the next, and climb up to the next, and they're building blocks, meaning that if one just is running late, and again, we pointed out from the very beginning that the goal of this seminar is not to, guilt everyone into being in shul and saying all of these prayers, but it's to help us recognize the value of each of these prayers. And that skipping, although sometimes maybe it seems, it speeds things up a little bit. But the reality is when we skip, we miss out on some of the foundations. Again, if a person is trying to run a race or to climb a ladder efficiently, the most efficient way to climb a ladder isn't to skip rungs, right? Now you could do it and you could actually probably even maybe get to the top faster, but you also have a greater risk of hurting yourself. You have a greater risk of slipping. You have a greater, whatever it is, it's not the most efficient way. Maybe the fastest way, but it's not the most efficient way to climb a ladder. So the most efficient way to climb a ladder is to step on every rung and to, now the most efficient way to go down the ladder is to do one of those cool slide downs, but that's not what we're talking about. We could practice that later if we want, but I don't know where, and I'm not taking any responsibility for anyone, but in any event, I know that's my big. When I heard that, I said, "So where's the pole?" I know, and I was very upset about that when I heard about it. You know, I'm great for the kids. Great. What do you mean? Build kid activities all the time. It's wonderful. okay. So Rav Schwab points out that Rav Pincus points out that Pesukei Dezimra the five are a ladder, and they go from level to level, and he actually enumerates what each of these levels are. And hopefully, again, with this in mind, again, I don't know if we're going to have time, depending on how long this takes. We'll maybe be able to go into some of the words, some of the more detailed, but more importantly, yeah, perhaps for our purposes tonight, is to get the themes of each one of these halalukas and what the goal of the five are. So here we go. First thing we need to point out is these are referred to as a shira, as we pointed out, that Ashrei and the halukas are considered a shira, a song. And so we're going to have to understand a little bit of what is the nature of shira when it comes to song, when it comes to praising of God. We just read Az Yashir. Clearly song isn't just like, oh, it's a words that we put to a tune. Song in Jewish thought, again, I'm not an expert on this topic, but it's a much more spiritual connotation of a way of connection, of connecting. And the reality is that, and I think I spoke about this last year, on Shabbos of Shabbos Shira. That song has the ability to connect, music has the ability to connect us to things that that otherwise would be very difficult to connect to. Honestly, I think I mentioned this then, but I don't know what happened to me in the last like whatever couple of years, but I've gotten much more like songs make me cry now. Like there are many songs, not even sad songs. Like there are songs that really just they tap into your soul, it tap into your heart, and even honestly, it could be even certain singers, certain themes. Again, maybe it's as I'm getting older, as my kids are getting bigger, whatever it is, certain themes of tradition and connection and those things. They tug on the heartstrings, but if you were to say the lyrics, you know, as a poem, it wouldn't have that same impact. Sometimes it's the music that somehow. So there's a very, very strong connection between Shira song, and Zimra, as mentioned, a different type of song, to the emotions that are involved in the service of Hashem, which is a very powerful idea. So he says like this: when it comes to, we did Ashrei, now that we and Rav Pinkus points out that Ashrei is the shorish, it's the root of the praise of Hashem, right? We got in last week how we recognized the Aleph Beis, that Hashem exists in all areas of our lives, and Hashem is he gives us everything we need, and that's the root, that's the core of everything. But now we begin to sing, he writes, and there are five prakim that are like a ladder, like rungs on a ladder. So he writes, tachtis hasulam, which is the first one. And just to read the words a little bit on page 74, Haluka, praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing to my God as long as I live. Put not your trust in princes or in mortal man who cannot save. His breath expires, he returns to the earth. On that day, his plans come to an end. Happy is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all they contain. He who keeps faith forever. He secures justice for the oppressed. He gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets captives free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord raises those bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord protects the stranger. He gives courage to the orphan and the widow. He thwarts the way of the wicked. The Lord shall reign forever. He is your God, Zion, for all generations. Hallelujah. I thought I was going to read all of it, but I did. So what is the theme? If you had to guess, what's the theme of these? Now, again, there's no right or wrong answer. There's an answer that I'm going to end up saying from Rav Pinkus, but what would you say? It's hard to say without seeing the rest of them. But the truth, but any thoughts?
The sovereignty of God over the world.
Very good. That last word was key. Over the world. Because we believe there are many planes of existence. There's the earth, and then there is the spiritual, spiritual kind of within the earth, within earthly living, there still is a spiritual aspect. And then there's above that and above that and above that. So Rav Pinkus points out, he writes, Tachtis asulam hi olamein. The bottom rung of the ladder is our world, the world that we live in, each and every one of us, our 2 feet on the ground. Kodem kol maschilim l'shabech as HaKadosh Baruch Hu ala olam shalom. First thing we do, the first rung of the ladder is to praise Hashem, to sing to Hashem about the world that He placed us in. Betchila al ha'adam lashir ulavate as ha'nevesh al atzmo kolomer as ha'olam shumakir. Praise God through the world that we see. Sometimes people, you go try to the deepest philosopher and you try to the deepest philosophy and all the look around, right? We spoke about this already. Look around at the world and you will see God, right? He is here. He is present, ever present in everything. And it's so easy sometimes, again, if we allow ourselves to see Him in this world. Hali nafshi, nafshi es Hashem, ahala Hashem b'chayai, azamal l'kaybedi. Afilu b'matzav shani rak b'odi, afilu kishan achama shali, hi rak b'meshen osarti l'fleita, gam az ala l'achshem, says that even in the dark times when we're in this world, there's a place to find Hashem. Sof, chesed, Hashem is baruch hu mekayim osi. We have to recognize at the very end of the day, No matter what a person is going through, and again, this is a little bit more difficult, but whatever a person is going through, there's always what to praise Hashem about, right? Sometimes that's a hard pill to swallow, and we don't like being told it, right? We don't like being told it. But the reality is that every single person, and again, we have to be sensitive to how this is told, but there's room for hakaras hatov everywhere. There's room for gratefulness to Hashem in every aspect of life. He says, Adam holich l'rofe, kula roe b'pachad, b'osa sha'alav lakshav, ashi shikel yakov, shivu al shem elokav, Naniyah Sha'at Ben Chamishim, I Pam Hodis, like I was brought, Al Chamishim Shanim, Shechaya Ad Kol. You know, a person goes to the hospital, God forbid, when they're, you know, in their 50s. So you have to realize, again, it's, you know, on the one hand, you might say, look, in modern society, 50 is young. Like 50 is young today, right? But it's recognized, okay, well, you know what, 200 years ago, 50 was not young. Right, 300 years ago, 400, 500, 50 was almost double the lifespan, right? So recognize that, again, not to say, God forbid, that we, you know, we stop, we always daven, we always ask for more, but to recognize there's always something to be thankful for. God, thank you for putting me in a generation where 50 is, where I at least I've lived 50 years. I got to see 50 years, right? You know, I'll tell you, again, I just keep pulling from this, from my experience on Rabbis Can Run, that that there was a certain rabbi, and when we were going around the room and everyone was talking about, I told you, everyone was talking about why they joined the program. So this guy had some health issues, some heart issues, and he said, "I'm at this program because I want to be at my kids' weddings." That's what he said. "I want to be able to make it to my kids' weddings." That's what he said. And like to me, it really, like, you know, the fact that I never even had that thought, Baruch Hashem, you know, Baruch Hashem, I'm in good health. Everyone's got their peckle, right? Everyone's got their issues. Everyone's got their things, but there's always something with that. The fact that I never even thought about that as a concern, you know, is a Baruch Hashem. I've never had a reason to think about that as a concern, right? And that's Shlav Aleph. That's stage number one, that we look at Hashem, that we look at the world around us and we thank Hashem. And that's really expressed in this first Hallelujah. And that's the first one. That's the first rung. First step is look around the world. Look at our lives. Again, even with our challenges, right? Even with our challenges. Nobody has an easy life. There's no such thing as an easy life. And the more we think that, you know, it's cliche at this point. But I know my grandmother told me that I remember it's a better phrase in Yiddish. I don't know how to say it in Yiddish, but there's a better phrase in Yiddish, and that is, if everyone were to put all of their sorrows into the middle of the pile, everyone would take their own back. Right. So again, everyone has things, everyone has issues, everyone has challenges, everyone has difficulties, but there's so much to be thankful for even within that. Again, I always need to be very, very careful about this. If someone's going through a difficulty, that's not what you say to them. That's not what you, that's not what you say to them, because that's something somebody has to realize on their own, or they need to be a person that has to have a relationship with the person where they will be able to hear that. But you never want to minimize you want to validate. You know, what's the opposite of validate? Invalidate. Thank you. There's nothing more validating than someone trying to play down your pain. So, and nobody has a right to do that, you know? So I want to repeat, this is not something we ever say to someone who's suffering, but it's something that we work on ourselves, so that when we are in situations where we're going through difficulties, we ourselves can remember that at least we want to be thankful for. I told that story, right? I told that story the other week about the woman who was told to thank Hashem for not giving her children, which was the most difficult thing, you know, anyone could possibly do. But we always have to realize there is what to be thankful for, even in the darkest darkest times. Okay, next Hallelujah. So we move on. Hallelujah, ki tov zamar Elokeinu, ki na'im navasila. Hallelujah, how good it is to sing the songs of our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. The Lord rebuilds Jerusalem. He gathers the scattered exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars, calling each by name. Great is our Lord, mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord gives courage to the humble, cast the wicked to the ground, sing to the Lord and thanks, make music to our God on the harp. He covers the sky with clouds, he provides the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills. He gives food to the cattle and the ravens when they cry. He does not take delight in the strength of the horses, nor pleasure in the fleetness of man. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him and put their hope in his loving care. Praise the Lord, Jerusalem. Sing to your God, Zion, for he has strengthened the bars of your gates and blessed your children in your midst. He has brought peace to your borders and satisfied you with the finest wheat. He sends his commandments to the earth, swiftly runs his world. He spreads snow like fleece, sprinkles frost like ashes, scatters hail like crumbs. Who can stand in his cold? He sends his word and melts them, makes the wind blow and the waters flow. He has declared his words to Yaakov, his statutes to the laws of Israel. He has done this for no other nation. Such laws they do not know. Hallelujah. Says Rav Pinkus, what is this referring to? So this next rung of the ladder is a little bit higher, a little bit more meta, as I am understanding it. I'm not 100% clear on what exactly he's, but to me, it's like the more meta aspects of this world. We're still in this world, right? What we just mentioned first was the physical aspects of the world. Now there's the more like kind of meta aspects of Hashem, of the things that are kind of like beyond us, the things that are secondary to our lives, but they are always going on around us, right? The way he writes it is, that Hashem is, as it were, the soul of the world. That the world itself is based on God's will to give good, to give benefit to us, right? The very, very beginning of Sefer Maseiach Yesharim tells us in Derech Hashem, which is also Moshe Chaim Lutzato, that God created the world. Why? For us to benefit, to give us benefit, not necessarily in this world, but in the next world. It was to be mated. And that's why when we want to imitate God, it's by being mative, it's by giving to others. That's why giving to others and chesed is so glorious in the eyes of God, because that's exactly why he created the world. So we are by giving good to others, by doing good to others, we actually are imitating God in the most intimate way. But he says that's the idea here. He says, deeper ideas. Not just the natural order of the world. Now, again, these are things that I don't really understand, but the root of the shefa, meaning we say in Shacharis every day, we say that on Shabbos also, we say Hamechadish b'tuva b'chol yom tamid, that Hashem recreates the world every day. We believe that every moment of our existence, Hashem is willing us, continuing to will us to exist. It's not like God signs a contract every year and says, okay, I'm going to come back and visit at the end of the year, see what we're doing, or I'm going to resign. No. Every moment that we are alive, that we exist, is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing us. Hashem is willing us into existence. Now, that's not an idea that we can look around the world and see, right? The first parak of Tehillim that we mentioned was look around the world and see all that God does, right? And praise him. The second one is you can't say look around the world and see God's bestowing of goodness, meaning we see the manifestation of that. That is in all of the kindness that Hashem performs for us, but we don't see the mechanism. We don't see the mechanism through which it happens. We don't see God recreated. We just exist, which is why, by the way, it's so hard for us to appreciate it, because we're born into a system where it is. I would put into this category, maybe. I'm not sure. Maybe not. But as an example, not necessarily this, but just a mushel, is, again, this is an idea that I like to talk about a lot, because it's so, I love watching people's faces when they think about it. And that is thumbs. Anyone here ever think about a thumb? So there's a rabbi, I believe it was Rabbi Sonnenschein. I never met him, but a friend of mine went to a camp that he was a Rebbe in, and he used to say that when you say modim every day, when you thank Hashem and modim and Shemona Esrei, you should think of one thing in your life that you're grateful for. And if you're really pressed and you can't think of anything, just wiggle your thumb. Why? Because just think about the fact that Hashem didn't have to create us with thumbs. And if he didn't have a thumb, right? Try picking up that water bottle without your thumb. An opposable. Yeah, you have opposable thumbs. Okay, yeah, but the fact, okay, we have the thumbs, but try picking up that water bottle without using your thumb. It's definitely not as, try using, if you have a pen in there, try holding a pen. Bottom line is things are much easier with our thumbs. We don't think about it because we all have thumbs, right? But if you go, you try not to use your thumb, just think about it. Be grateful that Hashem gave us a thumb. I don't see the chesed in my thumb but that's part of it, that Hashem created us, created a world. I call that meta gratitude, right? It's something that we're grateful for. That it's not something that was given to me specifically. It's just the way it is. But if I take a moment to appreciate that, that takes it above and beyond. That's like the chesed built into the world. That is Haluka number two. It's the meta aspects of God's kindness in this world. Number three, if you turn now to page 77, Haluka, praise the Lord from the heavens. By the way, I feel like praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. She got a TV show and everything. Praise him in the heights. Roslyn Heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun, the moon. Praise him, all the shining stars. Praise him, the highest heavens and the water above the heavens. let them praise the name of the Lord. He commanded and they were created. He established for them ever for all time. We could even stop here and say, so what is the theme of this one? Things that are beyond our world, right? First, we had the natural world around us, the most direct form of kindness, of chesed that Hashem does. Then we had the metaphor. Now we have things that are beyond, celestial bodies, right? Things that are beyond our world, right? Now, one could obviously make the case that that the sun, the moon, stars are all part of the natural world. And of course, but clearly in Jewish thought, we view them as almost apart from us, in a sense. You know, the fact that they were, had a specific day that they were created has a significance. So what is day? What is the Halukah number three? So number three is almost simple. Says Rashi. Rashi says that this is actually, as we pointed out, that this is the first one, according to Rashi, that this is what we say every day. That Rabbi Yossi wants to say this one every day. Why? So he says, HaKavana leperek, and the last one. How are you? So we have to figure out why this and the last one, which we didn't get to the last one yet, are so important. So says Rapinkis, Halu kol malachav, halu kol tzvav, halu shemesh ve'erech, halu kol kochvei or all this host, etc. Perish. What does it mean? Eight nireis ha'aretz min hashemayim. This is a very profound idea. How does the world look from the heavens? Kolomar, meaning to say, Mishenim tzva shemayim, roe shegam ha'aretz, Shara, the Shagam Haaretz Shara. Avol Mishenim Tzvaaretz Enu Mavchin Bekach, Hu Lo Shomea Es Hashira. That sometimes if we have a certain perspective, you have a perspective from the upper, from the higher realm, so you could see more and appreciate more that's going on, right? You see the song of creation, as it were, from the higher up. Someone is on the ground, you see what's around you, but you don't see beyond that, right? So he writes, Hu Lo Shomea. Kan ba'olam ha'shafal, in our world, shemeh adam osa mishpat la'ashukim nosen lechem l'ra'evim. What do we see? We see God's manifestation of he feeds the hungry and he does kind, he gives justice to those who are in need of it. Aval be'egila shamayim hu shomeh et shiras ha'malachim ulepet ha'mizbaher lo gam kol shenase al ha'aretz. That's only part of the picture, because there's a lot more. In the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim of Chaim Volozhiner, he gives an example, and he points out that this world, the way the connection between this world and the upper world, the higher world, the Olamos Elyonim, as it were, right, is we view it as a when we do mitzvahs, we think, oh yeah, we do a mitzvah. We view it as a rope, right? If I take a rope and the rope goes all the way up to the ceiling and I shake it over here, right? So I can look at it right now. I'm shaking the rope, but what's happening as you go higher and higher? It continues to reverberate all the way up, right? And it has an impact all the way up. So he says, that's the same thing. I could do chesed. Hashem could do chesed here, but the fact that the reverberations go all the way, and that's something that's only appreciated in the upper realms. We say, Hashem says, stars, moon, sun, you see everything that's going on. Praise God. Meaning, obviously, it's David HaMelech talking, and he's speaking from the perspective of those things, that they also praise God for what they see in the bigger picture, meaning it's us recognizing that there is a bigger picture, and those celestial beings, as it were, that have the ability to see that, they praise God as well. Or we tell them you should be praising God, which is giving us perspective, right? I once heard a great idea from Ephraim Waxman, and that is that we say by Spiras HaOmer, when we count the Omer, there's a special tefillah that we basically say it's a very Kabbalistic prayer that somehow made its way into every single sitter, whether you're a Kabbalist or Ashkenazi or Sephardi, it's all there. And it basically says that just as I destroyed with my sins some of the spheros, which are the spheres, whatever it means, the essences of God, I have the ability through my mitzvah of Spiras HaOmer to fix them, to rectify them. So this is an amazing idea. So he gives a mashal of a guy standing against the building, rocking on a skyscraper. And all of a sudden, he hears a voice from all the way up. What are you doing down there? What do you mean, what am I doing? He says, you're shaking the whole building. We don't realize our actions have tremendous, both negative, God forbid, when we sin, it has an impact, but also lehefech, that when we do good, it reverberates all the way up, that we have the ability to stabilize the building just by leaning on it, by being Naaman, right? By being reliable. And I think that's the idea of this one, that we say, not just from our perspective, that's from our perspective, but from God's perspective, that everything God does and the way it impacts in harmony with the universe and with the upper worlds and everything like that, call upon the celestial beings, you need to be praising God for this as well. That's number three. Number four, Hallelujah, sing to the Lord a new song. His praise in the assembly of the devoted, let Israel rejoice in its maker. Let the children of Zion exult in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing. Sing praise to him, timbrel and harp. For the Lord delights in his people. He adorns the humble with salvation. Let the devoted revel in glory. Let them sing for joy in their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their throats and the two-edged sword in their hand to impose retribution to the nations, punishment on the peoples, binding their kings with chains, their nobles with iron fetters, carrying out judgment written against them. This is the glory of all his devoted ones. Hallelujah. What are we talking about? This is what already it comes when, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu exists in time, in space, in everything. So this is talking about the coming of Mashiach. The Shir Chadash, the new song that we're praising Hashem from the perspective of, is now we're up a ladder. Once we appreciate the global interaction or the universal interaction of God with all of our the celestial beings and everything, now it gets to, we go within time, forward in time, and we say, from the perspective of when Mashiach comes, the glory that we're going to see, right? How we, I mean, just remember back to, I don't want to go too much longer, but the remember back to the tefillah on the Yom Noraim and the high holidays, where we talk about Ubechein, Hashem, let us see that all of the people and all of your creations recognize your existence and recognize your kingship, and then we'll dance and sing because people will realize that we were your servants all along, and then the tzaddikim will dance, and right? It's going to be a very, very exciting time. So we say Hashem light, and so we praise our Hashem already from that perspective. Shira Chadashim. And then finally, the last one. Hallelujah, praise God in his holy place. Already there, we're already in a higher place than we've ever been, right? The Gemara in Maseches Chagiga tells us the concept. Anyone ever hear the concept seventh heaven? When someone's in seventh heaven, they're very happy, right? Also used to be a TV show about a Christian pastor and family, whatever it was. So seventh heaven. So that's actually a Jewish concept. We had that first. It was in the Talmud, right? It's in Jewish thought that there are seven rakios. There are seven heavens, as it were. Each one, there are different types of angels that do their service from there. And in the seventh one, the highest one, right? That's where Hashem kavyachol. Again, full disclosure, I don't know what any of this actually means. Like I use the words, but I don't actually know what it means. I don't know how to, and we're not supposed to obviously try to, you know, create an image in our mind. I don't know what it means. But that doesn't mean I don't think it's true. That's a very, very important point. I think it's 100% true. I just don't know what it means. But bottom line is that already in God's holy place is already a place from that perspective, which means that is all knowing. That is all powerful. That is all meaning with the total, you know, pinpoint accuracy from the perspective of Hashem. We praise again Hashem from that place too. He writes, Zohi kavyochal haneshama shel haneshama shel hakol. It's the soul of the soul of everything. V'china shmona esrei. This is like the shmona esrei. Kodesh hakadoshim shakol ha'olam hazeh. V'lifnai v'lifnim. This is like the inside of the holy of holies. This is, again, we're going to get to shmona esrei. That there is a practice that some have to imagine yourself when you start your shmona esrei, standing inside the holy of holies. You're transported from the shul, wherever you are, into the Kodesh hakadoshim.
Oh wow!
Well, you're in tefillah, you are. So that's an amazing aspect of tefillah. In tefillah, we can go in a place where no one physically can go, other than the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. So that Halu Hashem Bekodesho from His holy place. That when we, this is the top level. Kasher under Olim Basulim Atzvilah Shlavachar Shlav. When we climb this ladder, rung after rung. What? What the
holy place?
It could definitely. It definitely could mean his holy place. We'd have to look at the Mefarshim on the tail. But here I think it says the highest place, the Shama on the Shama. Darga Achar Darga Shel Afim Anu LaHagia LaKriyashma. So this is like in tefillah again. The goal of the Pesuk in Zimra is to get us into the mindset, to get us ready for Kriyashma, which is our total. Subservience to God, our declaration of subservience to God, and then ultimately the Shmona Esrei, which we go in to a place. Again, if we really, really appreciate what Shmona Esrei is, it's our opportunity to whisper to Hashem. You know, you don't whisper to someone you're far away from, right? We know what happens if you whisper to someone that you're far away from. What? Right, because you whispered, I didn't hear, right? So they don't hear you, right? If someone's far away, you got to yell. You got to yell loud, right? But we don't. right? When Eliyahu Hanavi and Har Carmel, right? He sees the false prophets of the Baal. They're trying to get their god to come and take the sacrifice. He says to them, maybe your god said, maybe yell a little louder. He can't hear you. Yeah, because they're far. Right? Obviously, it's not a real entity. But when we're davening Shemoneh Esrei, we whisper. It's because Hashem hears every single word we say. Because we're right there. We're right there. In that place. And so the idea of these climbing these ladders in Pesukei Dezimra is to prepare us for the Shema, which we now make our declaration that we're going to be Hashem's. And then ultimately the Shemoneh Esrei, when now we're ready to really speak to him because we've climbed these ladders. We know where we've climbed the rungs. We got closer and closer. By Shema already, we're saying the words of the angels, right? And we're going to get to that next time, that we part of the tefillah is repeating the words that the angels, kadosh, 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 right? That we repeat the words of the angels and what they say. And that's this process of Pesukei Dezimra. And that's the whole idea here. So he says, Zeo and Yonim shel Pesukei Dezimra, the point of Pesukei Dezimra, particularly Ashrei and these five verses, is to sing the song of God in this world, to bring into our own hearts that song and the rejoicing with Hashem. And this prepares us for the Shemoneh Esrei and the Shema. When a person gets to those tefillos of Shemoneh Esrei and Shema, recognizing who they're speaking to, you can accomplish anything with that tefillah as close as possible. Because at that point, if we use the Pesukei Dezimra correctly, by the time we get to Shema and Shemoneh Esrei, we're already inside the house of the king. We're already in the palace. We've made our way in. And that's where we can begin. And there we're not lacking anything in terms of audience. So that's the goal of Pesukei Dezimra. Next week in Mirtz Hashem, we'll have to discuss how we get to, why we insert the following points, the post-Pesukei Dezimra parts in what we call Pesukei Dezimra. But I hope this gave a little bit of insight into what Pesukei Dezimra is all about. And in Mirtz Hashem, we will pick up next week. Wishing everybody a wonderful, wonderful evening. Yes,